Welcome to the Strictly Anonymous Podcast. Conversations with online strangers. We place ads online.
Craigslist is definitely the gift that keeps on giving.
Real people respond.
You go to Singapore or Thailand. You can't not do it. The temptation is just too much.
Real problems.
Does your friend know that you're banging her?
No, he has no idea.
And anything goes.
Motto of the show, let your Greek flag fly.
Probably the only good advice I'll ever give you is to rehide your whips and chain.
Here is your host, Kathy.
Hey, welcome to the Strictly Anonymous Podcast with Kathy. If you haven't followed my podcast yet on the podcast app that you're listening, make sure to follow my show. You can review my show there and you love my show, give me a great review. Just press 5 stars. If you want to be on the show, this is a call-in show where people remain anonymous. That's why it's called Strictly Anonymous. I change everybody's voices. You make up a fake name. You could email me from a fake email address. You could call me from a fake ass number. I just want to hear your real story. If you want to be on the show and, like I said, remain anonymous, you can send me an email, strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com, or you can go to my website, strictlyanonymouspodcast.com, and click on be on the show. Or you could DM me over on Instagram or Twitter. I'm at Strict Anonymous on Instagram and Twitter, at Strict Anonymous. Make sure to follow me there, as well as if you want to DM me there, I'm at Strict Anonymous. You could do that, but give me some information. Every now and then I get a person that's like, I want to be on your show. I'm like, okay, what's your fucking story? Then they tell me one little thing. Then I'm like, tell me more. I don't have time to go back and forth with you like 50 million times, okay? Like, I'm like, my show is a 24/7, 7 days a week, 48 hours a day fucking gig right now. I'm like, I'm by myself as a single mom, all alone, doing everything. So I don't have that time to go back and forth. What you need to do to be on the show is send me details. I need to make sure that it's a good story that will take up about an hour and it's something that would do well on my show. So give me some information about what you want to talk about, or you could call my confessions line if you have something short that you just want to get off your back. I change the voices there as well. That number is 347-420-3579. That's 347-420-3579. You could call that number 24/7. If you text me and say hello, I'm not going to text you back, okay? And I'm not going to answer your phone call. I'm not going to FaceTime you. Don't, you know, that's for confessions only. That phone is never with me. So if you want to leave a confession, use the number for that, but don't use it to talk to me because I'm not going to talk to you there. If you do want to talk to me, a great place to talk to me is on my Patreon. I mean, my Patreon members always get first priority to emails and conversations with me because they are supporting my show over there. My Patreon is super fun, especially for people with fetishes, because I do have 2 separate tiers, one a cross-dressing fetish tier as well as a hoser. I call them my hoser tier, but it's like guys who are into pantyhose. I have that tier. I also have the lowest tier, which is like you get all the episodes early and ad-free, plus you see anonymous pics of my guests. If you do the hoser tier, you have a fetish for pantyhose or cross-dressing, you get tons of extra content. I do episodes there, exclusive ones that nobody has ever heard. And if you join now, since I've been doing these tiers for years, you get, you know, like if the hoser tier, for I think there's probably like 100 extra episodes over there. The cross-dressing tier I just created, there's probably like 25 extra episodes over there, as well as a community of other like-minded people, just like you. If you want to sign up for my Patreon, sign up patreon.com/strictlyanonymouspodcast. That's patreon.com/strictlyanonymouspodcast. You can sign up and cancel at any time. It's fine. Go check it out. All the links to everything I just told you is in the description. Today, I have on Tom, a.k.a. Tanya. Tom has a lot of stuff going on, and we get into all of it on this call. Now, Tom is a cross-dresser. He's also bisexual. He does, you know, and he talks about everything on this episode. He talks about when he started to wear panties and try on panties, who he stole them from, which happens to be his stepmother. That's a whole story. And then he had an affair with his sister-in-law. That's another story. That stuff is like weaved in between his cross-dressing stuff. He has had experiences with guys when he was younger, not just when he's dressed up. He has had experience with guys when he's a guy. He loves like anal sex, and he talks a lot about that. He does, like I said, get into some guy-on-guy action that he had when he was very young. Then we get into how he started to wear lingerie and start fully dressing. He talks about all of his marriages and what happened in all of those. One of his girls pegged him. Like I said, he's very into anal. He does camming. He talks about like all the stuff that guys get him to shove in his ass while he's doing that. He does talk about fisting, okay, because he has the whole funny, crazy story about a coworker that he was trying to get off his back, a female coworker, and she started fisting him, and so it didn't really work, but that whole story sounds convoluted, and it kind of is, but it's kind of funny. All his stories are funny, super interesting. Like I said, he also does camming. You can't find him exactly, but he talks about like the place where he doesn't have a specific name on his campsite, but he does talk about where he does camming. He doesn't do it for the money. He does it for the fucking fun. He goes into this whole thing about how he thinks like cross-dressers are narcissists. And I'm like, I think maybe you're the narcissist. And he, you know, I told him that on the thing. I'm not saying this behind his back. So we do have a little discussion about that, which is very interesting. And I want people over on YouTube to go and chime in, or on Instagram, wherever, about the whole all cross-dressers are narcissists thing that he thinks, because we do have a discussion and he throws that out there, and it's something I had never heard, and I want to know what other people think. I gave my opinion of it, but you'll have to listen for that. But like I said, there's a lot going on here with Tanya, aka Tom, or Tom, aka Tanya, but it's all super interesting. There's a lot of stories within stories within stories. It's airing on Fetish Friday because he does have the cross-dressing fetish, but there's so much more to this episode. You're definitely going to enjoy it. So I'm going to be right back on. Oh, and if you want to see pics of Tom, make sure to go to my Patreon. On my Patreon, did I say I have anonymous pics of my guests? And if you join the cross-dressing tier, you will see anonymous pics of Tom. So anyway, I'm going to be right back on with Tom/Tanya. Hi, Tom. Welcome to the Strictly Anonymous podcast. How are you today?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm a little confused with you, though, because I know that you're like, oh, I'm like, should I introduce you as Tanya? Because I know that that's like your cross-dresser name or your alter ego. And you're like, no, I want to be called. That's my stage. I want to be called Tom. That's my stage name. I'm like, what the fuck do you mean stage name? Wait, what kind of stage are you on as Tom? And then we'll talk about Tanya.
Well, Tom goes on stage almost once a day on the internet to show off some of his talents.
What are the talents? Tell me.
I'm fit, so I look good, and then I'm also well-versed at anal, so I can put on quite a show.
So are you porn? Do you do porn? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I guess you'd call it free porn, one-on-one free porn. I won't mention the website unless you want to hear it. It goes by many names, I've found out. But no, it's peer-to-peer, video camming. And
what is the website? You could tell me. Why wouldn't I not want to hear it?
I don't know what the legalities are if you want to advertise for them. But in this particular case, the one I log into is called Dirty Roulette.
Oh, okay. So it's like a camming thing.
Yep.
Okay.
And random people pop up. And they either like what you're doing or they don't, and they move on or they stay. And the thing that I like most, I think, is when I get, of course, it's all men, mm-hmm. all guys, is when they come.
Right.
That's my reward because they like what they're seeing.
Now, are you dressed up as Tanya or are you there as Tom or do you do both?
I'm usually cross-dressed to some degree, but there's somewhat of a limit when you've got to have access to things.
Right. So, but why wouldn't you use the name Tanya? Because you want them to know that you're Tom, and then they show up and they see that you're dressed like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know why.
Well, on the way, when I'm camming, they don't often ask for a name.
Right. Yeah. But you do need a name. I'm just saying, you're like, Tom is my stage name. I would think Tanya would be your stage name. I don't understand.
Oh, well, you know, well, Tom is, it can be a stage name if something's more male oriented, or it can be Tanya if someone's interested in that. Now, sometimes you run across other cross dressers, and then I'll give him Tanya. It kind of, I mold to my audience.
Okay, so that's a better explanation. Sometimes you're Tom, sometimes you're Tanya, depending on what your audience wants from you. But you switch back and forth. Now, as Tom, do you consider yourself, like, what would be, if you had to label, like, what's your sexuality? What do you consider yourself? Are you gay? Are you straight? Are you bisexual? Are you heteroflexible? Are you one thing when you're Tanya, something when you're Tom? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and if there needs to be a label, there's labels have gotten so complex lately.
I love labels, and we'll talk. Well, yeah, I mean, there's a reason for it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cross-dresser or transvestite, we can have a discussion there, but no, bisexual, mm-hmm. sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so whether you're because listen, like I said, what I do when I talk to a cross-dresser is I pick things apart because everyone is so different. And that's what makes it interesting. That's what makes it interesting, because you're going to find maybe out of 10 cross-dressers listening to your episode, maybe two of them are going to be able to relate to some things and eight of them are going to be relate to other things. But they really want to, everyone wants to relate to something. So I try to get all the specific details. To me, like I said, I have heard a lot from cross-dressers who are like, no, I'm fucking straight. When I am like dressed like a dude, I don't even look at guys. I would never be with a guy when I'm my male form. It's only when I'm dressed up do I have that. So when you are even Tom, you are interested in men or women as well. Is correct, right?
Oh yeah, that'd be fair. Sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what's interesting.
I mean, I don't look at, you know, it's funny, you know, I don't look at women or men and get the, you know, and get interested in that way. It would have to be very specific. Relationship, you know, one-on-one kind of thing that would bring that out in somebody, and the possibilities might go somewhere. Not that that's happened, but I would certainly entertain it. Yeah, I wouldn't have to be dressed for that.
Right. I'm assuming when you're camming and if you're doing anal and it's all that kind of stuff, I mean, and you said sometimes you're Tom or you're Tanya, depending on the person that's logging in. I mean, I'm assuming that that's at that point you're with a guy.
I can get lazy and not dress up.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And, but, you know, sometimes I like to put on as much accoutrement as I can and, mm-hmm. You know, go to town.
Okay. Let's talk about when you started dressing, when you realized that you were into accoutrement. Am I saying that correct?
Yes, you are.
Okay. Tell me your story.
Oh, all right. Well, I mean, I was, as I found out from listening to some podcasts, I was pretty, sexually active at a young age.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the first time that I acquired any female clothing was I stole two pairs of nylon bikini panties from my very attractive stepmother.
Oh, because, you had one of those.
Yeah. And I think at the time, and I think I was 12 or 13, my dad had gotten remarried, and it was a way, I was not going to have any kind of contact with this woman, but it was a way to have contact with her.
Mm-hmm. How old were you?
13.
Okay. And when did she become your stepmom? Like what age?
I was probably in town for the wedding because I didn't see my dad, but once, well, it was a weird visitation thing. Didn't see him about once a week, any given year. And so I'd been in town for their wedding. And because he lived quite a distance away, I had to fly. And I just thought this woman was very attractive. And the only way I was going to get close to her was via.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah. And I could see, listen, at 13, in comes this woman. She's like, quote unquote, your stepmom, but she's a stranger because you don't live with your dad, like you said, and you live far away.
Mm hmm.
And she was hot.
She's fair game.
Yeah. 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 It's not so like, it's not like incest at all. I mean, it's just like a hot chick, but she happens to be like your dad's with her and you have a kind of access to her.
Yeah, she was 40. Gorgeous.
Hi, I'm Chris Gethard, and I'm very excited to tell you about Beautiful Anonymous, a podcast where I talk to random people on the phone. I tweet out a phone number. Thousands of people try to call. You talk to one of them. They stay anonymous. I can't hang up. That's all the rules. I never know what's going to happen. We get serious ones. I've talked with meth dealers on their way to prison. I've talked to people who survived mass shootings. crazy funny ones. I talk to a guy with a goose laugh, somebody who dresses up as a pirate on the weekends. I never know what's going to happen. It's a great show. Subscribe today, Beautiful Anonymous.
You know what I think? I think you're most likely wasting some of your money on subscriptions that you totally forgot about. I know I was, but I'm not anymore. And that's because I signed up for Rocket Money, formerly known as Truebill. I had three subscriptions, two of them that I had totally forgotten about. One was some Adobe Photoshop app that I was paying for, as well as some photo editor app that I never even used. I don't even remember signing up for it, but I was paying for it, but not anymore. And that's because I used Rocket Money. With Rocket Money, you're going to see all of your subscriptions in one place. And all you got to do to unsubscribe is press the cancel button, and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. It's that easy. So what are you waiting for? Go get rid of useless subscriptions with Rocket Money now. Go to rocketmoney.com/strictanon. Seriously, it could save you hundreds per year. That's rocketmoney.com/strictanon. Cancel your unnecessary subscriptions right now at rocketmoney.com/strictanon, or just go to the description and click on the link to sign up for Rocket Money now.
Wow. Now, had you had stolen anything or wore anything feminine before?
Nope, not until that time.
Isn't that interesting? I typically hear it's like so starts so much earlier, but it's not like I haven't heard it just, you know, come out in like teenage years. That's interesting. So at 13, that, and because of your stepmom, that was the first time you decided to. Now, did you just steal them and like smell them at first, and then eventually you put them on, or did you steal them and put them on immediately?
No, I don't think I would have known to smell them. And of course, they would have been clean because they were in a drawer.
Yeah.
So I know I just put them on and I just wore them. Uh-huh. And I really couldn't tell you what happened to them after that. I really don't know.
Yeah.
I had a fairly, well, I was going to use the word normal. That wouldn't be fair. Because I interacted with, boy, and everything I ever did was only with people of my age. I'll just get that out front. Okay. I was never groomed. No older people tried to, you know, molest me or anything like that. So, I had relations with boys when I was pretty young, because I think that's, you know, that's who I was around, and I was curious, and I don't, you know, they weren't, nothing crazy, because you just didn't know what to do at that time. You just weren't sure, but there was touching and looking and all that. But at the same time, I did it with girls in the first grade. I played, strip don't break the ice with a first grade classmate. And I remember getting caught. We got caught by our mom kind of, showing each other what we owned.
Yeah, I think that happens more than you think.
Yeah.
And some of us don't even remember. You know, you're curious. That at that young of an age, I think it's just curiosity.
Yeah, but I think I was an instigator. In most of these occasions. So at 13,
you were doing the grooming now.
Well, I think so, because at 13, yeah. I remember there was a summer there was a boy down the street that we had an interesting summer.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was the first time I had an orgasm, and that was from penetrating it.
Wow. How old were you?
13.
Oh, okay. So yep. 13 was a very pivotal year for you. First time you wore panties, first time you fucked a guy in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Well, and we had all the girls in the neighborhood. I mean, there were campfires where we were getting naked, you know, and I remember the girls around the campfire. They were a little older than me, 15 or so, maybe 16. They'd never seen an erect penis. So I showed them.
Right. You were like very a little bit of an exhibitionist. I mean, you were always open sexually, maybe you're curious and all of the above.
Oh, curious and an exhibitionist. Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah. Well, look at what you're doing now. Right. I mean, so that was like that was the cues that was what you were into. So wait, so 13, you're fooling around with guys. You start to steal, you stole your first pair of panties. Now with your, you know, from your stepmother, do you eventually start taking other things besides panties? Like, were panties the gateway drug?
Well, it was the gateway drug, but And I hope not to disappoint anybody, but that dressing phase remained dormant for a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, I had some relations there. That summer was a good relation. There was two boys involved in that summer. And, you know, but I had that, I guess when I was fit, I mean, I lost my virginity at 15.
To a woman.
To a woman.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it was pretty, I would say pretty normal up until into my first marriage when I had bought some lingerie for my wife. Well, she wasn't my wife at the time, but we did get married. And she rejected it. She threw it at me like, you put this on. So I did. I liked it.
Wow. Wait, so she said you bought her lingerie and she's like, I don't want to fucking wear this. You wear it. And you're like, okay. Uh-huh. Wow.
As a joke. Yeah. I think it's kind of, you know, one of the rejection things. And I put it on and wow, is that, that sure, tickled my pickle.
Mm-hmm. And was that surprising to you?
I don't know. Perhaps. Yeah, it was. I liked that a lot. And so that went on for, you know, that collection expanded. I don't remember, you know, that was, oh my gosh. Well, I don't know. I'm 58. So that was 31 years ago.
But would she engage, you know, in that kind of play with you? Was she cool? Was she down with it? Or was it something that you had to do on the DL?
I didn't have to do it on the DL. And I don't think it was a big deal because I remember, of course, at that time in our lives, we had, we were partying a wee bit, as you might say, because at that time, and that would have been pre-87, so that was mid-80s.
Cocaine
was a big
cocaine. There we go. So we all know. Yeah.
Well, and her, we lived just 40 miles out at this time, 40 miles north of New York City.
Yeah.
And her best friend lived across the street. Her best friend from childhood lived across the street and was living with a coke dealer. So,
right.
And we, we had a couple of years there that were very fun. And I do remember a couple of times, you know, I would dress up in front of these two. We're all hanging out, partying, and her best friend is there, and I'm there. I'm in panties and a bra and mm-hmm. stockings and all that. And, you know, we're just doing our thing. And at one point, her friend even did a photo shoot for me. But there was never any sexual interaction with the friend at that time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Ever with that particular person.
Yeah, okay.
So, and that evolves for a long time. And we relocated to the Midwest. And, oh, I'm forgetting a very important piece of the pie here.
Okay.
So when we finally got married, 6 months later, we had it was an informal wedding, very informal, justice of the peace. We had a reception to invite all the little family members around. And that, during that party, that's when my sister-in-law and I started our years-long affair.
Oh, okay. I don't know why I did it. Do I have like the bullets to your story someplace that I don't remember?
it may have been mentioned in the telephone confession.
Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah, sister-in-law. I remember everything now. Yeah, okay, go on. So wait, so at your effing wedding party the day of... At the small intimate ceremony,
this was a reception that happened later.
Yeah, whatever. But it is in the party for your marriage. Your sister-in-law, who is your brother's wife, or your
my wife's sister.
Okay, so your wife's sister. Oh my mm-hmm. fucking God! What? How did that go down?
Well, we were in the basement of the house, and I don't know who propositioned who, but I really don't. But that lasted a very long time, for the time that we were living on the East Coast, and then for a number of years when I got to the Midwest, and then she moved out to the Midwest to the town that we lived in, and I worked in the construction still. Well, I don't do that anymore. Was working in the construction industry. She was in food service. There's a lot of partying that goes on in that world, and that was still occurring. So when her sister moved out here, things really kind of got hot and heavy. So, you know, there was a lot of times when I would meet her. We might go to the mall. She might buy me some lingerie. we'd go back to her place. We'd be at it for, you know, hours on end. And, you know, she had a big thing for anal. She could come from being fucked in the ass.
Yeah. Without anything else going down.
Without anything else. So she really loved that. And I did too. So yeah. it was a match made in, you know, coke laid in heaven.
Oh my goodness. But wait a second. So was she ever married during all these years of you guys hooking up? Was she cheating on anybody as well?
My sister-in-law?
Yeah.
No, she... Well, she'd been with a man for a very long time. And then we're talking 16, 18 years.
Yeah.
And then got married, very expensive wedding. And then they got divorced 2 years later.
Right.
So I'm just telling you, kids out there, don't spend the money on the wedding.
Yeah. No, the best is when people spend $75,000 on a wedding and then they fly coach to Hawaii. It's like, why don't you spend $2,000 on your wedding and stay at the Four Seasons and fly first class? I mean, so dumb. You know what I mean?
It was pretty sad. Anyway, so after her divorce, that's when she came to the town that we lived in.
Right.
In the Midwest. Mm-hmm. And that's when I think it was about 4 years of on and off before I got divorced.
From her sister. So, did you guys ever start dating after that? Or did it end because of the divorce?
there's a lot of messy stuff in there that we can't, I mean, you don't have time to talk about, but she ended up heading back to the East Coast and resuming her life out there. And I haven't had any contact with her since. But
did you guys ever get caught?
By who?
By anybody.
Got caught once by the police and when we were on the East Coast.
I was kind of like, that's a loaded question. Why are you asking? Like, who else besides, you know, as someone in your family? That's what I meant. Oh, you were saying it because you got busted by a cop. What were you, like, in a parking lot having sex?
We were in the, pulled into the parking lot of a local school. apparently they had, I don't know what kind of, detection devices they had, but they did. And anyway, a cruiser showed up and just advised us to move on.
Hilarious. But wait a second. But nobody, like the sister, never found out. Your wife never, you know, I mean.
Oh, my wife found. Oh, yeah. At the end, she knew.
That's
who
I meant. Instead of saying the first answer to me saying, did you ever get caught? You're like, by who?
Well, no, we never got caught. She never walked in, you know, while we were doing
But I mean,
anything.
She found out though. I mean, you got caught.
She was
like
aware.
She, how was she aware?
I don't know. I remember driving home from the lawyer's office one day and she just said something about, and you and my sister. So
she maybe always knew or found out at some point and never brought it up?
Well, I don't know exactly how she found out because it's kind of weird. Because eventually her sister had a boyfriend had a man living with her. And my ex-wife, my at the time wife, ended up marrying this guy.
Wow.
So I think so somehow that knowledge got transferred between the four or the three of them to where she knew that the sister and I were having our little tete-a-tete.
So maybe either she found out first and then fucked her sister's guy just to get her back, or she fucked her sister's guy because she had the same genetics like her sister and they're all fucking each other's guys. And then the sister found out and she's like, well, I was fucking your husband the whole time. Like somehow it just like they both kind of found out that each of them had slept with their guys. That's just crazy.
It could have been. I mean, I remember distinct. I got a phone call early one weekend morning after, you know, a late evening for everybody. And that was my sister-in-law saying, did she tell you? And I was like, tell me what? Well, that she wants to marry this guy and be with him. And well, that hadn't happened yet, but it happened right then.
Well, she got what she deserved. I mean, she was fucking her husband all these years. You know, what do you expect? I don't know. Were they close as sisters? I mean, I have a sister. I just can't believe someone would do that and like the kind of deception and be able to like, you know, to your own sister. I find it just horrible. Were they like best friend sisters or sisters that barely talked or hated each other?
Hi, I'm Chris Gethard, and I'm very excited to tell you about Beautiful Anonymous, a podcast where I talk to random people on the phone. I tweet out a phone number, thousands of people try to call, you talk to one of them, they stay anonymous, I can't hang up, that's all the rules. I never know what's going to happen. We get serious ones. I've talked with meth dealers on their way to prison. I've talked to people who survived mass shootings. Crazy funny ones. I talked to a guy with a goose laugh, somebody who dresses up as a pirate on the weekends. I never know what's going to happen. It's a great show. Subscribe today, Beautiful Anonymous. Hi, I'm Chris Gethard, and I'm very excited to tell you about Beautiful Anonymous, a podcast where I talk to random people on the phone. I tweet out a phone number, thousands of people try to call, you talk to one of them, they stay anonymous, I can't hang up, that's all the rules. I never know what's going to happen. We get serious ones. I've talked with meth dealers on their way to prison. I've talked to people who survived mass shootings. Crazy funny ones. I talked to a guy with a goose laugh, somebody who dresses up as a pirate on the weekends. I never know what's going to happen. It's a great show. Subscribe today, Beautiful Anonymous.
I would not classify the relationship as best friend sisters, but I don't think they were not
at odds,
estranged at all.
Interesting.
So it was, yeah, it was kind of interesting, especially because I think at the time she was very aware, but never confronted me. I think because she was content at the time, because the relationship she'd established with this other man was good for her. She didn't want to wreck that.
Who was very aware and had the thing? Like, what are you talking about? What do you mean?
Oh, my wife was aware at the time of what was going on between her sister and I, but because this person lived with my sister-in-law.
Oh, wait,
man,
your wife was seeing her guy at the same time that she was married to you?
Yeah, I'm so well, my sister-in-law's roommate was mm-hmm. a man.
Yeah, I know.
And this man was carrying on an affair with my wife.
While you were with her? Oh, I thought that
yes.
happened afterwards.
Yeah, and I'm
and
having
later.
An affair with my sister-in-law.
Yeah, I got it. Okay, but that guy wasn't her boyfriend or anything like that. I thought it was. I'm so fucking confused, but it's very entangled. I kind of dig it. You know, it's interesting.
It's entangled. There's no doubt. But it did get sorted out.
You all wound up where you're supposed to be, is what you're saying.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think so.
Yeah. I mean, like that's it. It's a lot of times it's really great to hear those kinds of stories so many years out, because
is there more time?
I don't. What? What do you mean?
Do you have more time?
I
mean,
we have 40 minutes.
Oh, okay. We only.
You have an hour.
Okay. Well, I've thought about this, for a while. This upcoming conversation, I had no idea how much time it would take to spill my guts.
You have a whole hour. You only gave me 20 minutes. Did you spill all your guts? Is that it?
No. I don't. The next chapter may.
Yeah.
Get some more questions out of you.
Yeah.
So. 9 months after the divorce, I marry another woman.
Mm-hmm.
Ironically enough, not that this is important to the story, but she happened to have dated my brother. She was 3 years older than
stop.
Me in
I
high
can't
school.
Even handle this. All of this incestuousness is insane. Okay, go on. I want to get to all your chapters. Keep moving.
About 2 years into the marriage? And we had a, I thought a decent sex life. She asked me, well, what do you like or something? And the strangest thing was at the time, apparently our next door neighbor, who was a best friend from childhood, we live in a fairly small town,
mm-hmm.
Had given her some underwear that she didn't fit into.
Yeah.
And they were sitting in a laundry basket. And at this point, my new wife says, well, what do you like? So I went into the bathroom, grabbed these. They were kind of satin and lace pink tanga panties, and put them on and walked in. And, well, she wasn't horrified at the time. So just.
You were able to dress up. Yeah. Uh-huh. In front of her. She was okay with it, or she was into it.
Well, she seemed to. I don't know how many wives go back and forth. She got hot and cold a lot with it.
Uh-huh.
But sometimes she was very hot with it. And, I encouraged the whole thing. And that's when I actually was able to go, I guess, all the way to the one end, you know, wigs, makeup, that kind of thing.
She helped you?
Yeah, a little bit. Mm-hmm. But was not, wasn't her thing entirely, but we played a bunch of times, you know, while I was dressed, and, she pegged me. Well, it was the best orgasm I ever had. We'd bought a strap on and she pegged me, and wow. I mean, cause it's the P spot, right? That's what you're hitting.
Because you had these experiences with men when you were, or guys when you were younger, all these years that you're married, were you ever hooking up with guys on the DL, or had you not been with any guys and had no anal since you were a teenager?
No, I wish I could say yes, but no.
Why do you wish you can? Oh, because you wish you had that. But so the no opportunities, but if there were, you would have. It wasn't like you were monogamous, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would have, but yeah, that was not, it just, the opportunities, right, never presented themselves.
Okay.
So, we went back and forth for a long time, and, I don't know what role that played in the demise of that relationship, but, I mean, that went on for 12 years, 13 years, back and forth, with the full dressing and whatnot, to the point where we, at some one point, she would allow me to go to, if I wanted to go to a motel room and do my thing, or I could do it at the house, or, you know, I visited a cross-dressing service once. That was really fun. That was almost a dom thing, but, not quite, because this woman would provide a service and you'd show up, she'd dress you, maybe put you in a chastity cage, so there was some anal involved.
I never heard of this. This is a thing?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
people that do those services, it typically has this kind of stuff involved?
I only participated in this once, and then yeah. COVID took care of that.
Yeah.
Business went by the wayside. But I showed up to her place and got me dressed. And of course, this was a whole evening, right? So she made me up. We went out to have dinner somewhere, and then to there was a club that did drag shows, and then there was some play done at her house, which was, you know, pretty exciting, with a TENS unit, or what is that? I don't know if Eastham, I think they call it TENS. It was an electrical thing put in my ass, and wow, that was over the top.
Mm-hmm.
Just rolling convulsions, in your anus. And, that just ended up with, that machine and me and her encouragement and jerking off and eating cum. Well, I like to eat my cum too. So
now this was when you're still with your wife. Are you still married to the second wife?
No, nope. Not anymore.
Okay. But were you at this time that you went to the cross-dressing service?
Absolutely.
She was down with it? She was like, go do your thing?
Yeah, pretty much was go do her thing, because what I didn't know at the time, and mm-hmm. I probably should have been more aware of it, but maybe I wasn't, because I was too into myself. That's mm-hmm. what cross-dressers are. They're kind of narcissists.
That's interesting. I never heard that one. We'll talk about that, but go on.
You've never associated that with cross-dressers?
No. I want to just hear what you were just about to say, okay. And then we'll get to that. Yeah.
So, we both work at a very, we both still work at a very large company that, I don't want to even use the word company, that's in the healthcare field.
Okay.
So, they give us decent benefits. She was able to leave early because she'd been there longer than I have, you know, accumulated lots of time,
mm-hmm.
and would leave early and then come back and pick me up after my shift had ended.
Yeah.
I didn't think anything of it until I got sat down one Saturday morning
and
she wanted to, quote unquote, I mean, she didn't say it this way, probably could have done it in a much better way and things could be entirely different from where they are today. But she wanted to open the marriage.
What did she say?
Quote, unquote. I wish I could remember verbatim what it was. But she wanted to let me do my thing and she wanted to do her thing. How about that? And we would still live together. Uh-huh. And I remember talking to her. And of course, that was a total mind fuck to me. And so I'm like, are we still going to have sex? And she's yes. Yes, we'll still have sex. I mean, I don't know why that was the most important thing on my mind at the time, but Well, and that was a Saturday. So Saturday morning, and then Saturday afternoon, she trots out the door to go explore her possibilities. And I'm like, wow, that was quick.
She must have had something in the bag that she wanted. Well, you know, I mean, come on.
It was already happening. Yeah, it had been going on for a while, which is why I mentioned the other thing. So yeah. she'd been doing this for a while.
Yeah. But she didn't want to lose you and wanted to be open about it, maybe, and wanted to keep you in the bag too, or somehow. Because, like, she didn't want to leave you. She wanted to have you and this other stuff going on at the same time.
She liked the skills that I had that didn't have anything to do with the bedroom, but had everything to do with adding to her material wealth.
Okay.
Because I am, what's the best word to do? I take crappy properties and I fix them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do it really cash. Well. And I do it really well. and I enriched her quite a bit.
So you think she wanted to stay to have for your money and stability and all that mm-hmm. stuff, but she wanted to go basically live like a single person.
Yeah, she was going to do her thing, and I was going to be able to do my thing, and that wasn't going to work out.
So did you try it at all?
No, because she was, of course, all through the 13 years of marriage, being hot and cold with the cross-dressing thing.
Yeah.
It was confusing, because it was okay and it wasn't okay. And
oh,
it was
really?
Okay and it wasn't okay. Yeah. And, we opted to part ways.
Right.
And partly because, let me throw in another segue here. A person I knew from high school had, thrown a Hail Mary pass into the ether, and it landed in my mailbox. And it was, hey, hi, how are you? What are you doing?
Yeah, that's what Facebook's for, right? I mean, a lot of people, I think, wound up hooking up with a lot of other people because of Facebook, you know, those connections that were easy to make from people way back when.
Well, this was a postcard.
A what?
So this was old. Yeah, it was old school.
Oh my god, a postcard with a stamp on it, like in the year 2000.
Yeah, a stamp on it. I remember standing in this kitchen I'm talking to you from, reading this postcard in front of my soon-to-be ex-wife, and being faced with this dilemma of, well, I can pursue this. I got two directions, right? It was the fork in the road.
Mm-hmm.
And I chose the fork that I'm on right now, which has now been a 3-year relationship with this person.
Oh,
who knows
the postcard
about what's going on.
Oh my god. Okay, we still got to talk about the cross-dressers being narcissists. I have so many more stuff to talk to you about, and we still have plenty of time. Wait a second. So you're with your wife. She had just, it's like early on with her saying, I want to go pursue other people. That's when you get that postcard from the woman that you're with now. Postcard girl.
Yes.
I mean, you're with still. Did you ever ask her why she didn't just use Facebook? I mean, it's like, oh my god, it's only 3 years ago.
It's not something I'm. I don't do it. I don't do Facebook.
And your wife's like fine with it, right? Because she had already told you she wanted to be with other people. What?
Pissed. She was so pissed at this person. It was hilarious.
Oh my god, I love it. So messy, real life, normal shit. It's so funny. Like you're like, I want to go fuck other people, but I really don't want you to fuck her. She's not okay because maybe you might like her. I don't know. It's so complicated, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was obviously not going to work.
And it gets even more interesting because this person had sent had only had, you know, the internet and other public records to find me through, and actually had sent multiple postcards.
Wow.
And some of these went to properties that I owned, the ex had collected these postcards and disposed of them. And it was,
of course,
it was just by a miracle that I happened to take the mail out of my own box find the one.
Well, listen, you know, it couldn't have been perfect timing. You were obviously going your separate ways at this point. Your wife wanted to do all these things. You were never going to be okay with it. In comes the one, quote unquote, the one that got away. She was right there at the perfect time. I mean, that's kind of like the best landing, you know? I mean, a lot of that might have been a much worse time of your life if that other woman hadn't come in. You know, you just would have been abandoned by your wife. But here you were.
And
you got like right into another
hot
relationship. Oh, so still smoking hot. That's amazing.
Oh, well, yeah, we're both the same age.
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard the term on your show, unicorn.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This person is the unicorn. My age, no kids. Well, this is a long distance thing at this time.
Uh-huh.
It has been for the 3 years.
Yeah, yeah. You still don't live
quite a distance
together.
Away.
Yeah.
Which gives me, you know, time to do, well, talk to you.
Yeah.
And to do my thing when I want to.
Does she know about your things that you do?
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Interesting.
That was, we've been trying to put our lives together, but when you're our age and you have different, you know, careers and you've got different businesses and it just gets complicated to try to put two people's lives together when you're that far apart, but mm-hmm. we're trying
mm-hmm.
and this will go away.
What will go away?
Oh, I won't. I won't be able to do my camming shows. And
Exactly.
I'll part with all the cross-dressing stuff because it'd be another fork in the road. And that's what I think. I wonder about a lot of cross-dressers as they age and they face the realities of the whole thing. You know what they're going to choose to do. And the ironic thing is, in having some discussions with my current flame about, you know, because I've tried to feel her out with regards to how she feels about cross-dressing or transgender issues or all of that. And it's been pretty clear. The best comment that she made was, no man would want to be a woman if they knew how women were really treated in this society.
Right.
And, mm-hmm. and I thought that was quite a bitch slap up the side of the head.
They did a study. I remember reading a really great article. And this was done with guys who had all the hormones and became female, and it was really their perspective of not only how they were treated, but also how different they felt, and all these things that, you know, guys get down on women for. They realize it's like hormones. It's, you know, it's like it's if in but also it, a lot of that article was about the treatment and how different they experience the world, and it is very it is very unfair.
It is very different.
Yeah.
So I think she was spot on there.
Yeah.
So, you know, as a bisexual crossdresser, you know, Dave Chappelle had an interesting perspective on things.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you saw his show Sticks and Stones. He talked about the alphabet people, and one of them was the bisexuals, and we're just greedy, right? Because as a male crossdresser, I can impersonate a female, but I can penetrate and be penetrated.
Yeah.
Women can't do that.
Right. Exactly. Because you have the benefits of being a white male, straight white male, right? So you could be that guy when you need to walk in and negotiate. You know, you mm-hmm. could be the crossdresser when you want to get a good fucking in the ass. I don't know. You know, I mean, you want to make money on cams, you know. But you can do.
Yeah, I can. Well, and I'm not 6'4", 240.
Yeah.
So, I'm passable. I don't know. Maybe in, you know, with some soft lighting, but, I'm fit. So I look good. And in fact, I remember my first wife being mad at me because I looked better in lingerie than she did.
Oh my God. Hilarious. Well, you know, I have a Patreon where I do some contests. I have like a pantyhose tier. I call those guys my hosers. I have a cross-dressing tier. Now, I do a lot of contests with them. And a lot of times I give critiques. And we did one contest where all the guys wore pantyhose and took pictures. And I had my sister and my cousin come over. And they were drunk. And I had them analyze all the pictures. But I didn't tell them that this was guys wearing pantyhose. Do you understand?
Yeah. I would win.
And so many, but I can't tell you how not at any point did they A, think that any of these were not women, okay? And B, they were so vicious when they thought they were women. And then when I turned around and let them in on the whole thing that they were guys, they A, couldn't fucking believe it. And then they were so much nicer about it. And then they were so shocked because these guys' legs were better, especially if you're talking about women in their 50s, 40s, I mean, then most women that you know, they have, they keep the muscle tone. Men keep the muscle tone better than women.
Yeah.
Unless, you know.
Well, and something I didn't learn until recently is that there's a fat structure in women that men don't have, and it causes cellulite in women and men don't. So there's another benefit of being a straight white male cross-dresser.
Fuck off. Yeah. Yeah. I know.
Because my ass does look good on cam. I mean, I can't tell you that. I love hearing that. I mean, I hear it over and over and over when I'm on cam. And that's one of the things that draws me to it. You know, it's
the compliments. Flattering. Let's talk about the narcissism. Speaking of how you love everyone complimenting you.
Okay.
You have this thing where you think that cross-dressing is like a narcissistic thing.
Oh, very much so. Because I wanted to look up I don't know, narcissist was... It's a character. I don't know if it's a Greek god. I don't remember. I have to look it up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And narcissist fell in love with his reflection.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's where that's where all that comes from. And so anybody who's a crossdresser, you cannot see yourself except in a mirror or in a photograph.
Right.
So mirrors and photography are very important. So you can see yourself, and I think that is highly narcissistic.
Yeah, but don't you think though it's like kind of like the opposite of like you're not really seeing yourself, you're seeing like a different part of yourself and another part of yourself. It's not really, do you know what I mean? Like, is it all of somebody? I don't know. Are they really seeing themselves or just seeing a part of themselves? I think maybe you might be a narcissist or or like some narcissists or crossdressers, but I just think narcissism, because I'm like professional narcissist spotter. I know all about it. I was raised by one. I dated many. I'm a narcissist magnet. I know a lot about it, and I just don't see the correlation. Maybe, like I said, you know, you are a guy who likes to be on cam and you like people complimenting you. You like, maybe because you're a narcissist, you think that and you happen to also be a crossdresser, that you're projecting that onto everyone, but I never thought of that. I'm very curious when I put this out there, what other crossdressers say about that, you know, for sure.
I think it's a component. Mm-hmm. It's not the only component, but I think it's a strong component because there's a big, you've probably heard of a website called Flickr.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a huge crossdresser community on there. And of course that's all about photographs. It's all about sharing. And, that's what people, they like to show off. They like to see themselves because that's what it's about. You're altering your exterior.
Right. But to the crossdressers listening, like isn't putting yourself out there and maybe taking pictures for some crossdressers, what it is about is it validates and makes it sort of a reality. It's not so, but is that narcissism or is that just them wanting to, for that time and that feminine part of them to be real, you know what I mean, and just exist, and that's a form of doing it. It's like validating that part of them as opposed to just them, you know, jerking themselves off to it and being a fucking narcissist. I don't know, you know, I'm curious of what other people think.
I think it could have a negative narcissist. You know, there's a negative connotation
totally
around all of that.
Yeah.
And so I think what you and I are saying here is I don't think there's a negative connotation around most of it.
Yeah.
But you are, mirrors and pictures and seeing yourself is all a huge component.
Yeah. I just think that component is because it's the way of that guy who likes to cross dress. It's a way of them to validate that part of them and make it more real and at that moment, because it's not always, you know, and I don't know that goes together, but it's interesting. I've never heard anyone put it together like that. I think maybe it's because you have that in you, you know, you take it to that level. For you, being in pictures and being on there is about the adulation, which I'm not saying that there's other people that don't have that too, but I think you for sure like all of that. That's what the pictures are for you.
I do, no doubt.
Let's get into the camming. When did you start that and how did that come about? Because it's not like you need the money, you know?
No, I don't do it for money. It's entirely, the gift to me is when, you know, some guy comes.
Yeah. So, you like the fucking control. You know, you like to get the guys off. It feeds some part of you.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, well, the sad thing about it is how I found out about it was through one of my stepchildren. And they had mentioned something, you know, they were joking. They'd spent the night somewhere and they talked about this website. And they said, oh, we call it penis poppers. And because every time you open up the website and turn on, well, what is it? It's generally there. Generally, the cam is of a guy with his, you know,
dick out.
Hand on his dick.
Yeah.
And, you know, most of them can't be imaginative in any way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
They can't do anything more than they've got their phone right now. That's what it, you know, has come to now is they've got their phone on and they're looking at the little picture on their phone and they got the other part of their phone, you know, camera shining on their dick.
Yeah.
And so that was funny. And that's how I discovered this. And then I thought it was very erotic at some point because somebody can see you.
Yeah.
They can, you can show them yourself. And if there's a connection, you stay and you get off.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's not, you move on until you find somebody that, that you do have a connection with. And every once in a while you get a unicorn. And they are somebody who's very cool and very into whatever's going on. And you spend a certain amount of time with them and you can make them very happy. And it just happened. Well, I mean, unicorns are hard to find, right? That's why they're unicorns.
Yeah.
And, it was just the other day. It was almost sad in a way. The guy was 27 years old, married, wasn't getting anything off his wife or very little, wasn't very happy, was totally fascinated with what I was doing. He liked to see everyday objects go in my ass, which is kind of funny.
Oh my God. Before we end that's where we're going to close on the objects. He has had, you know, had you put up your ass. I love,
okay. Well, but I have a whole other chapter to go beyond that, but okay.
Oh, really? All right. We have 10 minutes, 15 minutes max. Sorry. Okay. Cause I have to pick up my son or else I'd go way longer. Keep going.
All right. Refresh my memory. Where was that?
Oh, you were talking about the unicorn in the sky.
So he's an attractive guy. He has a very nice cock and he's loving everything I'm doing. And I mean, when he let go, it was buckets, which was good for me. And he even commented, I mean, most of the time when a guy comes, they, you know, turn the camera right off. They just leave right away.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when that doesn't happen, it's very cool. People mm-hmm. are, you know, it's very nice when people stay and say, thank you. And you just have a little, you know, chill, you know, five, you know, a minute or two or chill. But anyway, he even took a picture of his load on the floor and had to show it to me because it was so big.
Yeah.
And I thought that was, well, it was tremendous for me too.
Yeah.
Because everyone got what they wanted. Mm-hmm. And he said, thank you. And, you know, maybe I'll see you again. And then on we went.
And now that's what you love about it. You've been doing this for many years. I know that you just mentioned you have another chapter, as well, on top of the camming. I mean, I don't know if I should go. Could you just tell me really quick how, like, any kind of, like, crazy object that guy, I mean, I'm...
Oh, no, yeah, he loved, a beer can is not a problem for me. You know, my biggest dildo is 3 inches in diameter.
Wow.
So, you know, water bottle, a dildo. I mean, a water bottle, a beer can.
Shit like that.
There was I have a can it looks kind of like a spray paint can, but it, you know, I put a condom on it and I can do that. And just thought that was the bomb.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just thought that was the bee's knees, all those different things. I mean, it really doesn't matter. I mean, I'm pretty talented as... You know, if you can get a 3-inch dildo in your ass, I mean, that's pretty talented.
Anything's going to get in there. Yeah, the beer can, everything. Yeah. So large insertions.
Which might be a good segue to the fisting.
Okay, so this is the next chapter, the chapter we're ending on?
Yeah.
Okay, fisting. Okay.
Okay, so at the establishment I worked at, I had a coworker that was hounding me, female coworker that was hounding me. And I couldn't get this person to leave me alone. I didn't really want anything to do with him.
Her. And it's a female.
It's a female.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But she like interested wants you. Me. She's interested in you for sex, like to hook up. Okay.
Yeah. Interested in me in sex. I said no, thank you. I'm mm-hmm. in a relationship. Don't mm-hmm. want it. Mm-hmm. Kept hunting me. And so I said, okay. Now I want to scare her off. So I said, why don't you just come over to my house, and we'll talk.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a Friday afternoon, comes over to my house. I'm drinking copious amounts of beer And I'm trying to lay this on the line for her and eventually get her into my cam room, get her on cam, show her what I can do. I was waiting for her to run away screaming.
She didn't know about your camming, or she did?
No, she didn't know anything about this.
Right, you were just going to lay it all out and she'll run for the hills.
Layer off, yep, and I'd be done with this.
oh my god!
Well, no. We end up down in my basement, in my studio, I guess you call it, and she is watching, and then actually topless and on cam, and then eventually, I get her to put her fist in me.
Oh my goodness! What a naughty bitch! She smelled you from a mile away. She's, you know what I mean? This
is I don't know. And then I didn't have any interaction with her for a long time. And then she came around again.
Yeah.
And, this was just Tuesday, as a matter of fact. And, I tried to just be very straight. I mean, this is funny because this is a person I can be very forward with. I'm standing in my kitchen in my all together with, a new bra that I'd gotten off of eBay and panties, and I got a butt plug in me, and I'm waiting for her to run away. And the next thing I know, she got three fingers in me.
Wow. She's back for more.
Back for more. And this is really complicating the situation because I don't, this is not something that I want to get, my plan has failed.
Right. Yes. She's into it. She didn't run away. She's back for more. She's not off your tail. I mean, she still wants you.
She wants an exchange. She wants to be pleasured in some way. And I told her, I can't. I'm 58. I'm fit. I look great. This person is not, is a little older than me, not horrible, but pear-shaped. And I think she took her pants off, I'd puke. But
but you let her fist you.
Well, yeah, because I'd never had that done.
Yeah, I get it. It's like a lot of guys probably understand. Yeah, okay, for sure. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I thought that would finish it off for sure. And that did not. So
did you do another camming session with her on that Tuesday? So just Tuesday this last
Tuesday? No. I mean, I probably would have, and because I probably want to do the fist thing again. But
yeah,
that didn't happen. She left on her own accord, and I'm just going to wait and see what happens next.
Oh my goodness. Like, I don't even know. I'm sitting here trying to think, when you were like a cross-dresser coming on my show, I'm like, I'm going to put this just on my Patreon, but no, this is going to go on my Fetish Fridays. And I'm like, what am I going to title this? Like Tom/Tanya, the cross-dresser who cams and fists and cheats and fucked his sister-in-law. I mean, there's so many sub-stories in this episode.
And I love them all. So boring.
I love them all. No, you didn't. You fucking narcissist. No, you didn't. You're full of shit. it's fascinating. All of them. You have many chapters. There's so many layers here. All my coughs. But this was like super interesting. I loved all of it. Like I said, I don't know what I'm going to title it, but it will be out for Fetish Fridays on my podcast. Definitely go to YouTube if you want to hear the effing comments, because there's a whole bunch of people over there that are commenting on my episodes. But only go there if you have a thick skin, because sometimes my poor callers go there and they don't have it. And I stick up. I have a very thick skin. I love a good debate. I don't care. I love to fight with people and tell them they're wrong and have back and forth.
You should hear what the people say to me when I'm on cam.
You get it. You totally get it. So you're all good. Go there to see the comments. I'm going to really be interested to just see what people think about that whole narcissist and cross-dressers and all of that, that correlation. I want to see what other people think, because I'm sure there's other, I'm not a cross-dresser. I'm a female. So what do I know? I'm going to be very surprised to hear what other people say. Like, are there going
to
be?
I would like to know, there female to male cross-dressers? I think there would not be, because male clothing and attire and underwear is really put all this boring.
Out. Yeah, that's an interesting thing. And you bring it up at the last minute. I don't know. I don't know if there are women, but I'm like curious to see what a lot of people think about this episode. People are going to be talking about your cheating. They're going to be talking about your camming. They're going to be talking about your fisting with your, they're going to be talking about your coworker.
Well, I think it's a shame. I think her fist was a little small, but
yeah, well, because it's a female. Yeah, it's a big difference. Yeah, you need the guy. I'm curious to see where you go with your girl. I mean, you would give it all up if she moved, you think, for this one, because she's like the one that if, you know, she came and moved in with you, you'd be able to give it all up. That's cool.
Right. Well, yeah, I don't think there'd be any problem there. And I mean,
do you want to give?
I mean, I don't know. You're a female, but she incredibly smoked. She's fit. I mean, we're both really. We look good when we fuck. That's
right,
the
right,
thing.
Right, right.
Well, we look really good.
So she would be a good camming partner. But wait, can I ask you for a question? Do you want to give out your cam? There are going to be some guys listening to this that are going to be like, "Why hasn't she asked him for his fucking cam name?" Like they're going to want to find you and have a big audience.
It's totally. It's completely random. I mean, you'd have to go to the onto the website and you know, open it up, and you know, maybe you'd see me, and maybe you wouldn't.
But are you a specific name for them to see? Oh, it's not.
No,
okay.
It's totally random.
Oh, okay. So it's but where do you go on for them to?
It's
maybe.
Well,
see
the
you?
One website's called Dirty Roulette.
Yeah.
All one word, a person I was camming with, they were on the website that they had logged into was called Shangle.
I
think
see.
The way the internet works and these companies work, it's who knows, half a dozen.
Oh, you could go through many different places and get you
so.
Up,
you're
but you're
see
going
all
through Dirty Roulette. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so it's hard for them to
thing.
Find you.
Yeah,
but
they wouldn't be able to find me. Oh, I mean, I've done Chatterbait. I've done that, but I don't like that portal. Because you don't get it, you know, you have a cam up and then people can text on there.
Yeah.
And that's all you can see. And if you want to see, you know, could do something one-on-one with somebody, you have to open another window and, you know, open up their cam.
It's just not ideal.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to make money, sure. Why not?
Right, but
I mean,
you don't
I've seen it on there, people making money and you know, that's too much work for me.
Yeah, and you don't need the money. You just want the, you know, you want to get off. You like the exhibitionist of it. You like the compliments, all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that makes you like a great find. You know, you're the unicorn in that world for sure, because I think some people are just doing it for the money, but you're really there to have a fucking good time. And I'm sure that comes across. So people are going to be very disappointed that they can't find you, but they're going to be trying to find you. But anyway, Tom, Tanya, thank you so much for calling in and sharing all your stories and all of it. It was a little
it was fun
all over the place,
cathartic.
But it was great. I love that it was fun and cathartic for you. That's cool. Thank you for calling in. You gave me a great episode. It'll be on probably next Fetish Fridays.
Okay. Fetish Friday. Well,
that's next week.
I'll keep abreast.
Get ready, Tom. Yeah, get ready. Go to YouTube.
Abreast.
Look at the
Did
comment.
You get it?
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Tom.
Okay,
thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at caskers.com.
Hey, everyone. Thanks so much for tuning in to this week's episode. If you want to follow the show, follow me at Strict Anonymous on Instagram or Twitter. That's at Strict Anonymous. If you are on YouTube, make sure to subscribe. I love YouTube as a platform for my show because people comment there and I try to reply back to every single person who posts a comment. So even if you're not listening on YouTube and you want to talk about the show, go to my YouTube channel, subscribe, like, and share my videos. It's Strictly Anonymous Podcast. If you want to sign up for my Patreon, on my Patreon, you are not only supporting my show, but you will get these episodes early, ad-free, and you get to see anonymous pics of my guests. Most of the girls send in anonymous pics and some of the guys send in anonymous pics. So if you want to see anonymous pics of my guests as well as support my show and get these episodes early and ad-free, sign up for my Patreon, patreon.com/strictlyanonymouspodcast. That's patreon.com/strictlyanonymouspodcast. The link is also in the description below. Thanks so much for listening.
Do you have a story, lifestyle, or situation you can't talk about to anyone? Or do you just want to let your freak flag fly?
and be on the show? Well, Strictly Anonymous wants to hear from you. Send us an email, strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com, with your story and your anonymous name. And remember, everything is strictly anonymous. Strictly anonymous.